All right, here we go. The final Real Kipper and Bourne show of this 2023-24 season, Sammy. That's it.
Hard to believe.
Just me and you and a man far, far away in Justin Bourne.
Hey!
After taking a brief day off. Would we say that it's a family day?
Maintenance day.
He's back
to
wrap up our season. So for the next hour, wherever you're watching and listening, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, in Calgary, Sportsnet 960, or watching on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. One last kick at the can to go over favorite moments of the season, favorite guests, what signings we liked. Sammy probably within the hour will tell us his favorite moment of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
But
all in all, guys, it really starting to make me feel like it's the last day of high school. And Sammy, will you sign my yearbook?
I will absolutely sign your yearbook. Borny's too far away for me to reach his yearbook, so I won't be signing his. But yeah, I mean, it really is hard to believe that we're sitting here on July 3rd and it's over. Like starting at the start of the season, being on TV, all the scaries going into that, and you snap your fingers and we're about to embark on our own vacation. Well, Borny's already on his vacation, but he's taking an hour out of his day to come with us. But yeah, it's crazy that we're here.
Yeah. If the start of the year, I could have told you the Leafs were going to lose in game 7 overtime to the Boston Bruins, would you have enjoyed the year as much?
No. I mean, depending what round. Like, if you had told me in the third round, yeah, I guess I would have accepted that. But the first round again, I probably would have been a little bit more dubious of that.
So the three of us will reminisce of the season that just passed by, including some of the latest news up until this point. Feel free to send in a text message.
Yes, please.
At 590-590. Tell us your favorite moment of the season. Tell us what you loved about our show, what you didn't. Give us some advice on what to do this summer, which probably would include jumping in a lake.
Yeah, maybe.
You think?
Well, go jump in a lake.
Replace the
host. Don't let Sammy talk so much. There's a lot of different things that people have ideas of, for sure.
And, of course, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. All right, who wants to start? JB?
Oh, just big picture on the year?
Well, okay, go there. Go favorite moment. Go.
I think maybe my favorite moment in the history of this show right off the top of my head, if I can give it to you.
Yes,
it was in the very first week.
Jump the queue. Don't worry about it.
No, because Borny was struggling there. I'm coming in to help him out.
All right.
The very first week of the season where the hottest debate in the city was the damn goal song. And I remember all of us were chatting nonstop about the goal song. And we were in the middle of some serious debate about hockey. And Lance Hornby tweeted out the news that they were going away from Hall & Oates. And I remember cutting in and being like, well, we have some breaking news here. And then I said that they're changing the goal song. And the camera, of course, was on me. And then it just flipped over to Kipper. And he had this look
disgust
on his face that can only be described as
the one I have now.
No, close. But no, you were just dumbfounded that I would even consider bringing it up. And I just remember looking at your face and laughing so hard. And that was the first time I was like, okay, maybe it'll work on TV. Maybe we'd be okay. I was laughing about that. Remember how much we talked about that damn goal song at the start of the year?
JB, this is exactly why he's on the show with us, is because only Sam can turn that into a story.
What?
The goal song.
Not a good one, but he can turn it into a story.
I didn't say anything about good.
You know, I think the biggest moments of the year, just I'll say biggest, not my favorite, but Sheldon Keefe getting fired was kind of, it was tracking towards that for years. It was a big topic of conversation. That was probably the most impactful point of the season, getting into the, the conversations after that. What do you think, Kip?
Stamkos, I think, is up there.
Listen, I think for me personally, though, Stamkos was a big one the other day.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about guys doing it the right way, and then unfortunately the system now is skewed towards love them and leave them more so. And there was parts of it in any era. We know when owners or management has had enough with you, they found different ways to kick you to the curb. Mm-hmm. That's been around for decades and throughout the course of history in the National Hockey League. But I think Stamkos was now just, if this could happen to this guy, this could happen to anybody from here on in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So,
go ahead. That is a big one. I do think that you know, it's a lesson to be learned going into the offseason. I hope it happens less as the salary cap goes up and, you know, good players aren't forced to leave. But, yeah, that's a pretty big one. I would say when Kipper started wearing these Blazers on big days, it was pretty big in playoffs, and we had the big guest for the Leafs round one. Yeah. That was a nice turning point.
Did I put pressure on you guys there?
Yeah, I wore a suit. Now I'm wearing a t-shirt and a ball cap. I'm like, I don't care, baby. Get me.
Sam had a monocle and a cane, if I recall.
Yeah. Listen, that didn't work. You know, that's the thing. That's ultimately where.
But it did work. It's about adding a little class to the show.
Oh, yeah,
that part worked. Sure. Yeah. I don't know what else you were talking about. were you going down that, like, we're superstitious and we're sending vibes?
Well, I mean, I, as you guys know, am a very, very superstitious sports fan, and I buy into all of this stuff. But the problem with that is I shouldn't be, because literally none of my teams have ever won anything. So I don't know why it doesn't. I guess the Raptors won, but outside of that, my superstitions don't work. So maybe I should stop it. But I really did feel that when I came in here in the first week of the playoffs and I put on a suit, I really did feel like that was going to turn the tides. I really thought that was going to work. Yeah, exactly. I really thought that was going to work. I thought it had a chance and just didn't.
Biggest story for me also on the show, and once again, yes, as you've reiterated many times, we do an hour on the Toronto Maple Leafs, so that kind of skews us to a much more detailed conversation on a whole when it comes to our show. Mm-hmm. But we do have a national show. Mm-hmm. In the second hour, and one of the biggest stories this year, guys, for me was the Vancouver Canucks, and being a team that we kind of wrote off prior to the season starting. We liked Rick Tocchet, but the effect that he had on changing the culture on that team almost, guys, like overnight, because they went from a troubled hockey club to JT Miller being this guy that thinks about himself first and not the team, and what they were able to do to me was just.
What about Besser? Everybody thought Besser was going to be out the door, he was going to be traded, that he was a guy that anybody could have had. Then he goes in there and has a career year this year as part of that, scores a hat trick in what game was that against Nashville to get them back into that one. So they were a really pleasant surprise this year. Had an interesting offseason where they've spent some money on some guys and they lost Zadorov or whatever. But it was nice to see them come back to relevancy.
How about Philly? Philly went from a team we expected to be terrible to a team that was a lock for playoffs to being Rory McIlroy and missing a three-footer down the stretch and missing playoffs all over. Tortorella's reputation did like a full bell curve over an 82-game season.
Hard to mention, JB, the Philadelphia Flyers, without also acknowledging a very big story in terms of the players that off the World Junior team 2018, including their number one goalie that they lost in Carter Hart, not knowing where that's going and whether or not these guys will ever have a shot ever again at resuming their careers. And, of course, we saw the domino effect for the Philadelphia Flyers, who have, I'm not mistaken, signed Bressois.
No, was it them that signed Bressois?
Who signed?
Winnipeg got him.
No. I'll look it up. Here.
Okay.
They got a goalie, did they?
I thought they signed him the other day. I could be wrong, though. I mean,
it was the Blackhawks that signed him.
Sorry?
Blackhawks signed Bressois.
Oh, they did. 3.2?
Yeah.
So the Flyers have not made any decisions yet?
Well, they got that mutant goalie that's like 6'8" from the KHL last year that got a couple starts to them. His name's escaping me. But they, I mean, that's, And they had that Arison that started a couple times against Leaf. Matthews shot a few through him. Mm. I mean, that's an impossible thing to recover from a franchise where you just have your starting goalie for the future and he's, you know, embroiled in a horrible...
Gone.
He's just gone.
Just gone.
And now you're just trying to recover from it. So we'll see how they do it. But yeah, Brassois did sign with the Blackhawks, 3.3 per year.
All right. So there you go. Safe to say I haven't paid a whole lot of attention the other day. JB, have you paid a lot of attention the last? Because apparently I haven't.
I wrote two sentences on every free agent signing over $1 million.
Wow.
Check that out on Sportsnet.ca.
Nice.
It's, I don't know how many thousand words, 6,000 words. It's a monster of an article. So
you
I
have not been outside.
Happened. Not entirely. But like you could definitely sneak a few past me because there was a lot of names, a lot of signings. This was the busiest free agent day.
Well, over $1 billion on the first day, and I don't know what they're at now, $1.5 billion. But it is quite remarkable.
What's your favorite signing?
My favorite signing is Victor Arvidsson in Edmonton. Mm. Super cheap deal. Just the type of guy that, you know, is they need in playoffs. He falls on goalies. He could have upside and still score you 25-30, you know, for a depth scoring. I really like that one. Gensel to Tampa is pretty good too. You guys have one?
You mean the big meanie Tampa Bay Lightning, the anti-karma? They're not going to, you know, it's not going to work. That's just bad hockey karma. It's not going to work for them.
They were dying anyway.
Yeah, I like Marchessault a lot. And I think he's a guy that's had a chip on his shoulder ever since he went to Vegas with them, with the Misfit. Was it the Outcasts or Misfits? What did they call themselves? The Outcasts?
The Misfit Toys.
Misfits or whatever they were called. And I think a huge part of what made him great in Vegas was him being sort of that like underachiever, scrappy, chip on his shoulder guy. And it kind of feels like that just happened again with them in Vegas. Like he was clearly pretty pissed that he didn't get offered a contract or however happened, however it ended in Vegas. He wasn't thrilled. And then he goes to kind of an upstart team here. They get Stamkos, they get him, they get Shea. They really sort of remodel their team. And I think he's going to be really motivated there. I love Marchessault as a player, and I think they're going to be good. And I think that might be my favorite, him going to Nashville.
Jamie, you mentioned Edmonton, and I think Jeff Jackson's done a pretty good job at least trying to keep momentum that he had.
Yeah.
Going from the Stanley Cup final to thinking about what next season looks like. The other one for me is another Skinner, Jeff in Edmonton. And like legit 25-30 goal score for me.
Yeah, for $3 million.
For $3 million.
It kind of reminds me of Duchesne in Dallas last year.
On what, 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
1 year. So you assume that this guy's going to come in and the carrot was you get to rejuvenate your career with the best player on the planet.
The carrot was you get playoff games. So, you will play in the playoffs.
But can this guy now put up some serious numbers? I think he's a talented guy that could shoot it in the net. And I'm just wondering if other teams have missed opportunities on this guy.
Can I ask you about the reported interest from the Leafs on Skinner? And there was some reported interest with Henrique too. Like, how do we feel about that? The guys are kind of being like, yeah, I'll go to Edmonton instead of coming to Toronto.
I just think it shows the power of
McDavid
and Leon.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's, I think Skinner would go. I'm not moving up there. It's 9 months, 10 months a year, 10 months of the year to go up there and play with the best player in the world.
But it's also, it's you say it's McDavid and Draisaitl, but, you know, Leafs have Matthews and Marner. The difference is the winning. If Matthews and Marner
is that important?
If they lose in game 7 of the Cup final, Skinner, Henrique, those guys go, oh, they're closer. I want to be on the team that's closer. Everyone's chasing their cup too, you know?
Can I just interject with the Skinner to the Leafs thing? Like, I'm not
also Zadorov is a good signing. Anyway,
I'm not sure that the zero playoff experience, pure skill guy is the perfect mix for the Toronto Maple Leafs core. If I'm being totally honest, like I think there's a potential for him to not have it work here. So maybe Edmonton, he made a really good call where you just go there. You're the fourth star in or fifth star in line. No one's really thinking about it. You just get to play with McDavid. You shoot in the net. You don't have to worry about everybody in Toronto being like, well, he's never played one playoff game ever. And, you know, it's starting to go bad in
you
the playoffs.
You mean luxury Dennis Mulligan?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bingo. Bingo.
Well, while the Leafs, it's well acknowledged, well documented that they beefed up their blue line, they got a little weaker up front with the loss of Bertuzzi, particularly the left side here. So how fast does Tree Living have to plug somebody else in to help Matthew Knives and Bobby McMahon?
It is funny, you know, he did make some statements somewhere along the way that you can't do it all in one day. You know, like he went out and got 32 D-men and really tried to fix that issue for the Leafs, and now it's, yeah, how do you replace Bertuzzi, who fortunately didn't score a whole pile last year? So, you know, replacing him is not impossible. But, yeah, you need another player here. So I am curious to see how they go about trying to make that happen. That's still up in the air.
Yeah, I would.
So Skinner would have fit in nicely.
He would have helped, for sure. No question. I think he's a good player, and I think he would have fit in well. To me, the Henrique one would have been a perfect fit. And, We talked about it at the deadline where we were concerned about giving up a first-round pick for him. The Leafs were talking about that. Like, that's something that you didn't necessarily want to do. But if you're signing him, what did he end up with, boys? Was it two times three and a half?
2 years.
3.5? Like that. And you put him in the third-line C spot, and then you could move all those other guys out to the wing. That just changes the outlook of your bottom six so much. And I really liked what Adam Henrique gave them through the playoffs when he wasn't hurt. I thought he was a really good contributor for them. So that one, to me, hurt a little bit more, and I thought he was a perfect fit. But there's nothing like there's not a lot out there left. Like it feels like it's going to have to go by
a trade.
Like yeah. I know Luke Fox put together like the top 10 remaining free agents, and it's Vlad Tarasenko, Daniel Sprong, Jack Roslovic, Tyler Johnson, Filip Zadina, Kalen Addison, John Klingberg, Tyson Barrie, Tony DeAngelo.
Okay, stop. You're hurting my ears.
And Alex Nylander.
We're good.
That's the last 10 here that he's got listed. So you got to make a trade.
Well, that's just it. And it has to be some money out.
But then then is it what?
Kampf.
Marner out doesn't help.
Lilligren.
Yeah.
Right?
Kampf, what are you going to get back that's going to change it?
An upgrade. How about that?
Okay.
That's your Adam Henry kind of guy.
For sure. But you're going to be able to trade him for somebody that's going to bring you $2.5 million?
You get into your packages now.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Then trade Lilligren?
I think Lilligren's still in a position to be an asset for you. A right-handed shot that can play 15-plus minutes. I think teams would have pounced on Lilligren if the Leafs walked away from offering him a contract.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I do.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's weak out there, guys.
Yeah, I guess.
It's weak on that blue line on depth.
100 contracts were just signed. I did want to mention the Zadorov thing. We talked about signings we really liked. I don't think he's Zdeno Chara, but I think he has a chance to be one of those unicorns, you know, where he can score and be big and mean and all that. So I just wanted to throw that in too. But yes, the Leafs up front still have some work to
do. If Joel Edmondson got almost $4 million from LA, then
I know.
Then Zadorov's right there at 5.5, 6.
Yeah. Like was it 6 times 5 or 5 times 6 for Zadorov? I can't remember. There's so many signs.
He's $5 million a year.
Yeah, 5. Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. Totally great fine. Deal. But
yeah. In news also today, the Florida Panthers lost a few players, but were able to keep a few besides Ryan Hart. Anton Lundell signs a 6-year extension for $5 million. And Sammy, on behalf of everyone in social media, they're tired of you crying about state tax.
Okay. Can I lay this out here for everybody?
I can't wait.
I think what they've done to get players there, Bill Zito deserves a ton of credit. He's brought in good guys, right? Like he's brought in the Reinhardts. He's brought in the Lundells. He's brought in all these guys. I get it. But when you get to sign guys for $2 million less every contract, it's a huge advantage. Like that's, you know, I know Lundell didn't have the bet. He's young, but he's an excellent two-way guy. He was a beast for them in the playoffs. When you get to knock $2 million to $3 million off of every AAV, it's a huge advantage. It just is. Like in a hard cap world, it just is a huge advantage.
JB, didn't the Leafs combat that by telling the world that we can give guys longer term contracts to a guy like Chris Tanev and not worry about the back end because we have so much money we can send you to Robidoux Island?
I guess you do what you can, right? You know, I saw, you know, people tweeting about deferred salary. You know, can you take more money once you leave playing in Canada? You're trying to find any way to compete. It is an advantage, no doubt about it. But, you know, Luke replied to you on Twitter, Sam, and he said,
Mr. Journalist, Luke, I know.
They've had no state tax for a long time and haven't always been able to keep their players. So it's a testament to the culture they've built there and what they have going on. So way to go, Florida.
Yeah, way to go. But yeah, it's, I really do want to say that Bill Zito deserves a ton of credit. He's done a great job getting great players there. But when you get to sign guys for a lot less, it's an advantage. It just is.
It is. Before, I don't know when we're planning on breaking today, but I really want to have the guest conversation. Whenever you guys are ready, I don't want to steer the show, Kip, if you're not ready for that.
Listen, I really have not steered any show at all in 3 years.
We did not say one word to each other before the show. We have, like, this is true last day of school.
No, we haven't said...
I'm just drilling holes. Last 2 weeks, baby.
We haven't said a word to each other before a show in 3 years.
That's a lie. We talk
except
about...
Except how you play today.
Literally anything other than hockey for an hour beforehand, but then we talk about hockey when we start. So
okay, let's hand out some awards to the best guests,
Hall of Famers,
Kipper and Bourne show this year.
You're really gonna piss off other guests now.
Well, wow. I don't want to do that, but we have to mention Doug McLean.
Yes,
we have to thank him for giving us every Thursday or Friday all year, getting through.
Don't mention his name. Not on a
He's
Friday.
Not listening. He doesn't know.
We're contractually, we're obligated on Friday. We don't have to drop his name Monday through Thursday. But you want to do this?
I do. Our boy Gordo, he filled in whenever we asked him. Luke was on whenever we asked him. I mean, I got a couple others in mind who are not in the exact regular.
Oh, hold on. I thought you were going Doug McLean.
Well, I will say, so Doug McLean, just from a producer's perspective, throughout the monotony of a season, like, you know, I do book the guests for the show and I do other stuff for the show other than, you know, spew questionable Leaf takes all the time. Having the guy that just is there for me every Friday when it's at the end of the week, he's been working hard. I can't thank Doug enough. And I really hope he doesn't see this where I'm blowing smoke up as you know what, but like, I adore the man. So thank you, Doug. Yeah, and he makes me legitimately laugh my you know what off every single week.
And the key for him is he knows he's not getting back in the league.
He's so the filter's only guy off. Who's both informed and doesn't care what anyone thinks of him.
And he's also definitely not going to get Jeff Rimmer on this show. So
we got to get Jeff Rimmer on this show.
That's probably the highlight of the show. We literally couldn't get a guest on the show because of offensive things said about him.
Yeah, it's
not
funny.
My own.
Well, it was Doug's fault.
All Doug's fault. Yes. Totally Doug's fault. No question.
Honorable mentions to guests, or you want to go?
This is beyond, I think, outside of the Toronto Mount Rushmore. I mean, I think first ballot Hall of Fame, Steve Alliquette.
Yeah, see, you beat me to it.
There's two there. It's Valley and it's Books.
Oh, yeah. Ropper, too.
Bukala is there, too. But Valley, you know, he provides some unique insights, does he not?
Well, and, you know, we also have to thank Ilya Samsonov. That guy gave us some great content that Valley could follow up on.
Oh, my God.
Like, you can't have a great guest like Valley unless there's a guy like Samsonov.
Yeah.
That's true.
Honestly, that's a really good point on how much content, just in general, the goaltending position for the Toronto Maple Leafs gave us this season. Right? You think about it.
Yeah.
What the wilderness that I remember, what game was it? Was it against Columbus that Friday night that you guys were on air?
Yeah.
When he let in, was it, they lose 6-5?
I think he let in 3 goals on 2 shots.
And then
sounds great.
It was bad.
And you guys were on the intermissions just being like, how is this guy ever going to play again? They send him to who knows where, the gulag. He comes back. He's excellent for a stretch of games. He comes back and then he has to play in the playoffs. He's no good. They go to wall. Like, the amount of time we spent talking goalies on this show, boys, is that going to be the same next year with Stolarz and Wall and Murray?
And
like, hey, God.
Stolarz today said, I know I'm one of the best in the world.
Yeah, there's no way that backfires. No way that clip. There's no way that clip comes around.
It has been fun watching, like, the evolution of the goaltender from, like, my era where it's just like, just shut up and stop the puck, to now how much of a science it is,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Revert, was it?
Yeah.
VH? What is it? Reverse VH?
Oh, don't RVH? Get me started on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Just make a save. just make when the puck. Hey, when the puck. When the puck bounces off the end boards and David Pastrnak's busting in on you, maybe don't be below the goal line, Samsonov. Maybe make a poke check.
So at least for Sammy enough. And others around the league, but you know, obviously with you with the Leafs, like there's a very good chance that the intrigue on goaltending won't go down too much next season because of Wall's history as a guy that can't stay healthy. Stolar's coming in for a guy that's never played more than 30 games a year. And dare I say it? Let's take a bet right now.
Mm.
How many games does Matt Murray get in next season?
Ooh, I should ask Bet365 to give us a number on this. If I were to set the over-under for Matt Murray games played next season, how about this? I'm going to set the line at 8.5 games.
I had it at 2.5.
2.5? With Wall?
I'm setting it at 10.5.
Ooh, I'll take slight under on that. Slight under.
I think he gets 10 games.
I can't do this. I can't do it.
Just stay in Kelowna with your flower crown. And stay.
I can't do 10 games to Matt Murray next year. I can't. Not because, again, it's the same thing they've been and they've done, and God, they need to not do the same thing they've done. That's all.
And I really do think that we're, you know, you get Stolarz, you get Wall, you know, under contract. Like, we're all tantalized by what Wall looks like, but man, he's just that disappearing act in game 7 would just be really hard for me to recover from. Like, it's just, I know it's
really
just
damaging.
I know it's a stupid way to look at things, but God, if I'm in that organization, just happens?
That for the Leafs, even for the Leafs, that was like one of the better twists to a storyline for them.
One of the better twists. Has there been
a better twist?
Was it 2-0 Leafs in game 6? Maybe he was about to get a shutout and he makes a diving effort to keep one out that doesn't need to stay out.
Yeah.
Like, what a Leafy moment that is. And then the report was coming in on the show. That was probably the biggest moment of the show all year. Let's admit that.
No, it was
finally out.
It was it wasn't during the show. It wasn't. It was on a Saturday. It was called Game 7 during the day on a Saturday.
Yeah. I was on the road. I think I was even in Boston.
Well, no, because
that's right. I just remember Kip being involved
because I threw it
first.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I
sent a text.
Toot my own horn.
Sammy kind of broke that story a little bit.
To you.
I texted.
I got a little something from someone, and then Biz started tweeting about it, and I was like, oh my God, no. And then I texted you guys about it, and then Kipper, of course, is like, let me call my 17,000 connections here, and it was out there, and then it ran like wildfire. And the thing is, they scored one goal. Samsonov, I guess, you know, in that game, in that winner, it's just so bad, just misreads it, doesn't make a play on it.
Yeah.
No, the Leafs scored one goal in game 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, Matthews makes that play off the sideboards, gets the Willie, shoots in the net, 1-0, 10 minutes left. You're like, wow, this is actually going to happen. They're going to win a game 7 in Boston. And then, but of course, it did not happen. Anyways.
Did Wall play golf the next day?
No. I hope not.
No.
Do you know something? You got willing to break that news? Okay.
Don't do that because it just gets us in trouble.
I just want to know how hurt he was. We never heard that, like, oh, they followed up in this. Oh, he needed surgery. Oh, he is just.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just
it hurts
brutal
a bit today.
Yeah.
Do you want to do game time now or off the back end?
Let's break. And then we'll come back. We got some text. We still got a couple stories to get to. And
we
game
do.
Time.
Yep. And two, including Seattle Kraken making history with the first full-time female coach. We'll talk about that after the break.
Did you guys talk Quenville and Bowman and all that yesterday?
No,
we didn't.
We didn't.
Wow, the NHL.
Lenny!
They successfully buried that one. It slipped by us.
Plenty of meat on the bone still in our last edition of Real Kipper and Bourne. Back after these words.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kyprios, Sammy McKee, Justin Bourne on location as we wrap up this year's edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Just to keep with tradition, now 175 shows in the Real Kipper and Bourne season 3.
How do you know that?
I've been keeping track. I'm going to have to read Game Time. It's Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Looking ahead, they have some futures on Bet365. Looking ahead to regular season player points for guys. So they have four players posted here. The first one is Connor Bedard. His total is set at 79.5, and it's minus 110 on both sides. You think he's going to have a... What did he finish with this year, boys? I'm just looking here quickly.
I'm taking the over.
Over.
I'm taking the over easily. Yeah. I mean, he did. He missed a large swath of games.
61 and 68 games this year. Dash 44. Woof.
So you got to think if he improves his pace and he's a point per game guy plus, which you have much better players, and him a year older, if he's healthy, it's over.
Mm-hmm. Kipper?
Yeah. I just... If you look at now, some guys that are coming in as first overall picks who aren't 6'3 and 220 pounds,
mm-hmm.
they get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? The other one is Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
It was when you think about how hard those years are on those kids at 18, and Connor Bedard, think about that first game coming in like a rock star and having to kind of carry that all season long and then getting his face broken like that. It's a long year, man.
Yep. The next one they have listed here is Connor McDavid. The total is the total that they set here, minus 110 on both sides, is 129.5. Imagine being so good at hockey that that's your total for a number. But Connor, yeah. So
The thing when you bet these sort of bets is you're not just betting on will he get over that, because he obviously played 82 games. He would beat that. It's like you're often betting on will they play and will they stay healthy. And so Kipper is hesitant about Bedard's injury risk. I'm with him there. You know, McDavid, he's been pretty damn sturdy throughout his career, right?
His last two seasons, 153 points, 132 points. So I think it's a pretty safe bet to get over. And the last one I'll bring up, the next rookie, next superstar rookie here, Macklin Celebrini's total is set at 52.5. So that's just a little bit under where Connor Bedard was last year. I saw a video of him absolutely embarrassing a couple guys at Sharks development camp today. So that's a good start for him. There you go. I'm saying over, judging one video that I watched today that was really, listen, really nice.
Give me an over under on him playing 20 minutes a night.
Oh, he's playing 20 minutes a night. I mean, who else is going to play?
I know. And it's...
When you're playing with no one and you're in your own zone the whole time, you can't get points.
Boys, like, you know what's not... 20. They got a Macklin Celebrini, Barkley Goodrow, and Tyler Toffoli top line there, boys. That's three NHL players.
How about the cash Toffoli got out of them?
Yeah, good for him. You know, that's a sick contract. Just go live in San Jose. Play golf.
Yeah.
Travel
no
around.
One expects you to win. There's no one cares. Need to critique you when you don't.
Yeah, love it. Wow. Absolutely love that for him. All right, that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. And thanks to Bet365 for sponsoring all year long, boys. There you go.
Nice job, Sammy, on,
thank you.
On thank our 175th you. Show.
Yeah.
Which I think you made that number up. When I start hearing guys saying this is my... Like, who's going to look that up?
I can...
Like, you can say anything you want.
I have them all saved. I can show you from one... Like, I have them all. Like, they're all there.
You haven't got the details right in a lineup all year. Why do I do 175?
I've seen you screw up this lineup about...
Wait, what do you think? About one...
Four times
one
a week.
140 of the 175, there's been a mistake?
Exactly.
Come on my plate, boys. Okay, come on.
Another big story, guys. You know, that may have gotten buried, I think, the other day, was Joel Quenneville and Stan Bowman being reinstated by the National Hockey League. And I think this one caught everybody off guard as they all went home after a very long free agent day. And I think maybe that was part of the game plan. JB, we'll start with you.
I just feel like if you're Quenneville, you're like, yeah, like I'm reinstated 3 weeks after everyone could have hired me.
You know, yeah.
Like, the timing is just like,
well,
they did that on purpose.
Yeah, that had to have been part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let all the coaching positions get filled and then reinstate them.
Yeah. So then I think they'll deal with this initial blowback to them being reinstated. and then this coaching sort of start will go, right? And then somebody gets fired and more time has passed. You hope that more people are like caring less, I guess, is their thought process.
It's going to be a race to fire your coach for some of these teams at the start of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. You think?
Does Q still have it? It's been a while, boys.
For some teams, you know, there has to be some teams willing to go to Joel, right? And then there's others that say, I don't want to be linked to that story. So I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
How many would be willing to say, to Sam's point, that it's over and
the juice worth the squeeze here,
right? It's like, does anybody care anymore? Is it behind everybody, or is that still hanging over Joel's head that somehow, some way his affiliation and being banned for two seasons, and I'll include Stan Bowman, matters?
The only question is, will he get hired in July or November? That's the only question for me. Like, someone's going to hire the guy. If you think he's above and beyond an average coach and can help your team, I think people will say he has served his punishment. He has done the personal growth stuff. He's checked all the boxes. He's been punished, and now he's available to get back into hockey. And I, you know, whatever you think of the whole thing, the league has reinstated him. He can coach.
Yeah. So I guess that takes away a lot of the question marks for some of these teams that are desperate for a coach, I guess, right?
Yeah, and Bowman, too. The league did the work on this.
And Bowman, too, right? Where, I mean, there's a couple teams, like specifically Edmonton, had looking for a general manager. Jeff Jackson just ran their free agency. Maybe there's a connection
Stan
there.
Stan Bowman has been linked even before the ban was lifted to Edmonton.
Yeah, so we'll see. But that was a successful Barry job, I think, by the NHL doing that. I think it was at like 3:30 on free agency frenzy. So crazy one.
That is crazy.
You wonder if a team like the Seattle Kraken would have maybe considered Joel Quenneville before going to Dan Bylsma, because Dan was not ever brought up. Anytime they're like, we've gone through this historic stretch of coaches being fired and coaches being hired in the last 12, 14, 16 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard Dan Bylsma's name once.
No, me neither.
Until they hired him in Seattle. Like, you think they got buyer's regrets there?
Well, I mean,
that Joel's available now?
Would the Leafs have chosen Berube over Quenneville? Were you available?
Yeah, that's a big question. Big question.
See, I think a big corporation like Rogers and Bell would have had more questions to answer with the linkage to what happened in Chicago than other teams.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
For sure.
That's a good point.
I think it's a lot easier to do it somewhere else than it would be to do it here, for sure. Mm-hmm. Should we mention Jessica Campbell here?
Yeah, Jessica Campbell also, speaking of Seattle, made history. First full-time female coach. I can tell you that a couple of people have called me on this and asked me my thoughts, and I'm like, really had much time to think about it. But the one sense I'm starting to get, if there are eyebrows raised within the industry, it has nothing to do with gender, but more about whether or not, with just 2 years of pro experience, if she's the most qualified that they could find to hire her. Do you think, again, some others that have been at this a lot longer might have their nose out of joint here, JB?
Whether they have it out of joint or not, I mean, tough beans. You know, like, teams are looking for good minds, different minds, and often the different part is important here, is that we've, you know, been on sort of this carousel of hiring the same, you know, 60 guys for 30 some positions. And hey, if they think she can provide something that other people can't, awesome.
And all these teams bring up assistance from the AHL all the time. Like, it feels like that's something that happens tons, because she was with Coachella Valley last year, I think. So teams will often hire their assistants from below and then bring them up.
But it's a lot longer than 2 years, Sammy.
I don't really care about it.
Others would.
I think it's going to be that's a huge thing for just hockey in general, and be interested to see how the guys react to it and how it's going to work. But I'd say it's a lot of pressure for her. honestly,
it's
like
happening across sports, though, Sam.
Yeah,
right?
I know it's, like, I mean, it happens in the NBA, for sure, of course, NFL, of course. And I'm just saying, it's a lot of pressure to be the very first person at something and being behind the bench and interacting with everybody. Well, like, it's,
but it's
a lot
not,
of pressure.
It has to be different because, you know, and we've all been through, at least I have, through minor hockey with my kids, and at some point, you know that there's a girl that's very good and ends up on a boys' team, and then you all of a sudden have all these different dynamics to that, including, you know, dressing rooms and when the boys can change and when she can't, when she needs to leave the room and when they need to be all together. And I'm wondering, like, at the NHL level, would that come into play too? Do they need, do they need a protocol here? Have they discussed it, or is she free to come and go any time she wants? Because we certainly know at minor hockey that doesn't happen.
I think it's, you know, I've played in a couple of co-eds. People just kind of figure it out. You just use your better judgment, I think. I don't think it's like that big a deal. I mean, how
no,
often?
It's a big deal in minor hockey.
Yeah, but I think at the NHL level, they're going to be able to use enough discretion to not be like, you know, getting, anyways, yeah.
She might see a couple of peeps along the way. That might just be the way she goes.
Yeah, I think there needs to be something done or said, I think, for that.
I don't know. That's an interesting one.
I think just from a legal point of view that you'd want to be able to kind of cover yourself, because that's all that minor hockey has done up until, you know, this point, is to make sure that they've left themselves in the best position where everybody can be also protected.
Mm-hmm.
Just food for thought. That's all.
You know, and it's good food for thought. It is a different dynamic, and I hadn't even considered that. That is a different element for sure. It's
yeah.
unique.
So
to yeah, Sam's yeah, point, yeah, maybe they go and just make it up until something happens or may not happen. Who knows? But it is a new dynamic at the National Hockey League level.
It's literally the very first time, and I'm sure that they'll go down and ask Coachella Valley people how it goes, and they'll figure out the protocols from what they use there, and they'll kind of they'll brainstorm it. But I'm excited for
it.
But
the Marlies, we had Barb Underhill in and out of the room, you know, with some regularity, and you know, it was like everyone took 2 seconds.
But not on a day-to-day basis, though, as a coach.
Yep.
Yep. That is going to be unique.
Got some few texts here, boys. Want to read?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of self-serving ones here. So here we go. Good afternoon, guys. Maurice from Orangeville. If the Leafs put in half the effort into playing their games you guys put into putting in a really good radio show, their season might have lasted a little longer. Have a great summer. Thanks, buddy.
That's nice. I ran into some guys at the kangaroo farm here in Kelowna the other day.
Who said
the same thing. I was at a kangaroo farm here. They said our show's awesome. I said thank you.
Oh, that's very nice.
A couple people at the terminal in Kelowna, so lots of nice words being passed around, fellas.
I was fortunate enough to have watched you guys for most of the hockey season. The mutual respect you guys have for each other is great to see. Very knowledgeable show. Great personal opinions. Awesome job. Enjoy your summer. See you soon. Doug from Alberta.
Doug from PEI?
Alberta. Oh, yeah. just reading a few. Roberto in Calgary, best part of the show is Friday with Doug McClain. So there you go. You mentioned Doug. That's the best part of the show. Just reading a couple through here. My husband and I are seniors, and we listen to Kipper and Bourne every day. Mostly Kipper because he's a senior too.
Yes.
The best day of your show was Friday, the conversation with Doug McClain. He's great. Thanks for another season. Best wishes for a safe and happy summer. Please put your name on it because that's way I can read it.
What are your thoughts on next season and what the Maple Leafs hockey team is going to provide us?
A lot of the same.
Well, let me ask you this. Did the Leafs live up to the narrative at the beginning of last season as we don't care what happens during the regular season, all we care about the playoffs? Did that happen for you?
Kind of.
I mean, it was frustrating during the season that we're supposed to say we didn't care about things as they happened, because when they did good, that's when people said we don't care. When they did bad, people still cared a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a frustrating way to get there. I can't imagine going forward towards playoffs next year with the same core. I just can't. I'm not saying I want anything done. It's just, it's going to be wild.
We know between now and training camp, all Canadian teams will have a different look than the one that they have today, whatever, how minor or major that may be. So let's, on July 3rd, handicap the top team next year in Canada.
Oh, I love
from
this.
Top to bottom.
I love this. I absolutely love this.
Is anyone not giving the Edmonton Oilers the one seed? Is anyone not?
No, I'm not.
I'll do it. Oh, who are you going to go first?
No, I'm giving it to Edmonton.
Oh, I'll go Toronto first.
Just because you are Sammy.
Yeah, I'll go Toronto first. Why not? We're the center of the hockey universe.
Sort of
Let me have it.
Any basis behind that?
I mean, they're good. They've been good for five straight years. And if maybe Craig Berube coaches them to not lose to crappy teams all the time, that they may have 15 more points and they may be the best team in Canada in the regular season. Is it that crazy to picture? I don't think it is. So give me the Leafs over the Oilers. Take that one on July 3rd. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
I'll take Vancouver second.
Oh, come on. Come on, Kippy. This is just absurd.
I'll do Toronto too.
All right.
Vancouver, what did they add? So they lost Mikheyev, Zadorov, Lindholm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not done. They're not done, and Demko is one of the best goaltenders out there.
Okay. So you have...
I got Edmonton-Van.
Edmonton-Van, and then Toronto?
Edmonton-Tor.
Yeah, I go Toronto third.
Okay, so I thought you were going to get hot takey and go Sens third or something.
No.
Then Jets?
Winnipeg.
Okay.
I'll go Edmonton, Toronto, Vancouver, Winnipeg.
Okay, yeah. And then
I got Ottawa.
Okay. Wow, what a thrill. Fifth best. Congratulations. Another sparkling season in the nation's capital.
Who's in the toilet bowl then?
It's the Habs.
So it's Calgary, Montreal are the bottom feeders. Montreal, how about them on deadline day? Like, you need a hockey team, and who'd they get?
Yeah, they paid $100 million for Pierre Engvall. I think that Calgary will be better than Montreal's trying to be bad. I guess Calgary is too. But
how much of it is that Slavkovsky $60 million contract? How much is that on? We got to excite the people in Montreal with this.
Maybe.
I think it's more like, can you catch the Jack Hughes sort of thing where all of a sudden you're paying $8 million to a guy who's worth 12,
but
you know?
He's coming off 20 and 30 and
pretty good.
You know, he doesn't, like, he's a power guy. We get it. But is he going to be like Jack Hughes that he can produce 100 points one day?
I don't see it.
Not next year.
Sammy, sure. I mean, you got to get ready now because Matthew Nyes is going to want $8 million next year.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah.
Right? What did you just say?
Let's fire up.
Matthew Nyes.
Oh, I see.
Can this show just end? Can this show just end? Can I go to summer? Hey, like,
Matthew,
I want to do
Matthew Nyes scores 20 goals and adds 25, 30 assists. I mean, that's $8 million right there.
Can we get rid of the stupid salary caps? We don't have these stupid conversations about guys.
Never.
It's so absurd. What would we talk about without the cap?
It's always about the money.
The reason the Leafs lost is because Nick didn't go to church on Greek Easter. Just saying, ask Yaya.
Oh,
who's ranting
me out? Cousin? Is that Giorgio? Did he write it?
I don't know. It's somebody texted that
who's,
in.
Who's ranting me out?
I don't know. This person did. They didn't put their name on it because they don't want you to beat the crap out of them.
Oh, it's Cousin Giorgio.
King of the
First
Danforth.
First of all, nothing
no
happens before midnight at Greek Easter. And, like, I'm tired.
Hey,
that's what cursed the Leafs season.
What a season, boys. In all honesty, I love both of you very much, and I'm very happy and too, blessed to be able to do this. So love you, boys.
Sammy,
you too. It's good year. Sorry I couldn't be there for the final show. I'm busy taking my daughter in urgent care because she has an ear infection. We're
Sick.
Having a great time in Kelowna.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. But no, I'm looking forward to next year, boys. But
well, feelings mutual on both of you guys. We'll get a couple of rounds in before we get together again in the fall. But the most important out of the three of us are the watchers and the listeners.
Absolutely.
And we absolutely love being here every day for you, giving our takes as crazy as they are. You are the reason why we're together, and we don't take it for granted for one second. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Stay safe this summer, and we'll all see you next season.
October.